They call the meeting to order. Will you stand for the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Highway.
Waiting for spring.
Yeah, I hear you. Got one day on Sunday.
Before I went to the state with it, I wanted to see what we could do about no parking on the shoulder of the road through the village, especially the winter. We've got some in North Fork. It's just a hazard to the plows.
It used to be back when the village was here. There'd be no parking on the Mill Street during the storm.
I mean, with the barber shop and there's tenants at the Blue Note. You can't plow sidewalks. I didn't know what everybody felt.
No, you bring that up, but you look at the barber shop. If we put no parking there, where are they going to park?
Well, they'll have to pay to clean the shoulder of the road.
That's right. Honestly, I had that brought to me about if we could, or who could clean between the sidewalk and the road. Give them a chance to get off the road, because half of the time after a storm you come by there, half of those vehicles are in the road.
Yeah. You can't even get through with a plow truck.
So what if you think it's possible to undertake that? Is that the state or?
I don't have time to plow that. Dragoons always used to charge the Blue Note, and actually, we paid for the library to plow back when they had it. I can't charge people.
No, between the sidewalk and the road is what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah, it's not highway.
I don't think you're going to get the state to do it.
State ain't going to come up here, but even if we did it, you know, like.
To me, it's a personal problem. Same thing when you got to park your car, the one over by the insurance office. The car's right on the edge of the road. They don't have a parking spot. Shouldn't be there.
Yeah, well, that's limited room.
Especially what we found with the insurance not covering. At least make them known. If we write them a letter and that truck scrapes out on the way through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not bad. The average driver in his own truck. Because every truck is a little different, the way the wing sits and.
Yeah, we can.
I had a close call. And
check into it more and see.
Ricky did. Another issue, nobody gives us the respect of waiting.
Right.
Because we're in their way.
Chris?
Yeah, nobody wants to get behind on.
My understanding that he's opening a new shop in Rouse's Point. I don't know if he's closing this one and moving everything over there or what he plans on doing, but I heard he was going to take everything and go right over there. What he does is his, but they plan on doing that very soon.
His lease is up. He told me his lease is up the 1st of July.
Okay.
Until 1st of July.
Okay, so
but even if somebody else
will be there.
Right.
He'll be there.
I don't care who it is.
Right.
It's there.
Right. So we'll have to do some checking and see what the feasibility is and what our options are.
Because before, back when Dragoons did the sidewalks and everything,
right.
They charged. Well, Jack's mother was through there, and
I mean, they did the same thing they did with Dad on the corner. They charged him to clean that corner.
That was part of parking lots and
the business paid for it. But, you know, they're making money off of it. I mean, for their parking. So, but yeah. We'll do some checking into it and see. Hopefully we don't have any more for this year. Hopefully the snow's on the way out.
On its way out.
Yeah, hopefully. Just to let everybody know too that I called an emergency meeting on the 16th of February. At the last monthly meeting, we talked about a truck they had over at Sam Payne Peterbilt. and we got the particulars on it. The truck was on sale for $252,000. We had an option to pay $150,000 down on the truck and then make one or two payments the next 2 years of around $55,000 to pay it. So I had called a meeting before because they had somebody else looking at it. So we had the meeting and the board voted to go with buying the truck and taking the 2 year payment. It was only a difference of $1,000 to go the second year on the payment than it was $7,000 to make one payment, and there was only an extra $8,000 to make two payments. So it wouldn't strap us for our cash to go ahead and put it all up front. So we only had to come up with $150,000. We already had $110,000 from the tax money that we got from the county. So we only had to come up with $40,000 to put down on the truck. So the board voted on it. So the truck is on its way. It's getting the plow and the sander on it, I believe. Huh?
I haven't got an update when that.
Right. It's also got a 5 year extended warranty on it, which I think is a great thing also. So that's where we're on the truck. I know we had brought it up last month, and we did end up purchasing that truck. Anything else, Chris?
The last big snowstorm, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, apparently there was a lot of complaining on Facebook that we weren't out doing our job or my job. I just want to try to get it in a minute and inform everybody that there are 6 trucks that run every storm. Each one of them trucks takes 3 to 4 hours to do their circle. That's with no breakdowns. The harder the snow, the longer it takes. Any issues, it can take longer. Like last night, we got an inch of snow last night. I went home this afternoon and had 2 hours of sleep. Because of the state road, I live there. We're not skipping roads. We're not in bed sleeping. Todd's here. Randy's here. You can look at the payroll. Anybody wants to foil the payroll and see the hours of overtime they're putting in? I just wanted to, maybe if it's in the minutes, it'll help people understand. I personally don't care what anybody thinks because I know what I'm doing. But the rest of the guys get upset when it's addressed that they ain't doing their job. And the more people that can announce it, that it takes 3 to 4 hours before they're done one round. A lot of times we start at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, you're still in bed. You have no clue we went by. It just gets sickening on their part. It's my job, but don't bother me one bit.
Yeah, well, you're always gonna get your naysayers. I don't care where you are or what you do. Just you're always gonna get your complaints.
The more people we can get to talk, the spread it around. No.
You're always gonna get them.
The hours that they put in, that's my job. It don't bother me if I work 24 hours a day for a week straight. But the work that they do, we're a team, but it's just maddening for them to get some of it was put towards me that,
yeah.
But
those are the ones that should come and ride in the truck during a snowstorm. Randy can attest to these guys here at the plow, Derek, Gary, John, myself. That snowstorm Chris is talking about where we're getting 3 inches an hour, white out conditions, you're doing 5 miles an hour, praying to God that you're still on the road and not in somebody's front yard. If you're driving by the seat of your pants, it's not easy. It takes a special breed to do it, but we, like Chris said, we're out there. We were out there the whole time. So.
Yep. Yep, for sure. Okay, yeah, no, I agree. And like I said, you're always going to get your naysayers.
Oh, yeah.
Always going to get your complainers. And those are the ones that mostly don't do anything for the town.
I'll say one thing, I have no complaints. They've done a very good job on my road.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but the best we can do.
Get out.
Okay.
That's all.
All right, all you got, Chris? Okay.
We talked about the sale after concession.
Art, where'd you go? There you are. Library?
I was out of town last month, so since January, we have approved the three co-directors that were subbing. And so now they're officially our directors, and they're doing just a great job. Three heads are better than one. And obviously, the most important thing is they have to work together. And they've been doing a great job of that. And I wasn't expecting, but Lisa DeLong is one of our co-directors. And Lisa, if you don't mind standing up, you can say a few words if you wish.
I'm putting you on the spot. But he did warn me just a few minutes ago. So I wrote down a couple of the things that we've been working on. Norma, Art's wife, is doing a program right now where she is training for, it's OATS, it's Older Adults Technology Services through the Office for the Aging. She's doing, is it 9 weeks, Art, or 10 weeks?
I'll get to that later.
Yeah, so anyhow, we're all doing some training. She's doing that so we can start a senior program to work with helping seniors in this area to learn technology. Stacy will be taking a STEM program this summer, along with the summer reading program. The STEM program is science, technology, engineering, math for children and young kids. And I will be doing a supercharged program. It's a story time program for kids. It's a 5-week program. So all these things are offered through CEFLS and different entities. We've put our heads together about, we have a few different dates. We're going to be starting a writing club on April 2nd. We almost already did start the writing club, but because of COVID, we had to back off a little bit. But we are going to go forward with that. So anybody interested in it, please, call the library, ask one of us. We're also going to be doing an Easter activity on the 16th from 11 to 12. And we are hoping, well, we will be doing the townwide garage sale. Those are the immediate plans. We have tons more plans, but that's what we're working on in the next few months.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah.
And since January, again, the flowering at the library has been fantastic. And including the guy does the sidewalks, he made a path for the propane guy to be able to get to the tank, and we can't thank you guys enough for that. The grant that I've been talking about since last fall, as far as we know, it's still a go. We haven't heard from them, which means they probably took everything, and hopefully we're going to get everything, but we will not know until June, and we can't start anything until July 1 if it goes through. But we're really hopeful, that will go through. Now, what Lisa was alluding to, the OATS that she was at. You probably heard of Senior Planet at the mall in Plattsburgh, if you've been by there. They've been there probably 5-6 years or more. They sent out an email in December that they would like to expand to the libraries. And so we jumped right on it. So Norma and I are taking training, so we will be able to conduct some Senior Planet programs at the library. Chazy, Champlain, Rouse's Point, and Moore's Libraries, we're all in on it. And so there may be a time we'll actually coordinate and try to do different things, but there's many courses that they offer. Some of the ones that they're probably most familiar would be like just basic computer, cell phones, iPad. I think they do a Chromebook, that sort of thing. Also, we're planning to start with lecture, which is just a one-day thing. And at one, and we're thinking this in the middle of May. We're aiming for Wednesdays, and we'll have to work that out. But a big issue that we're going to have is we need to upgrade our Wi-Fi. Champlain Telephone has been great to us. They've actually not charged us for what we're getting for Wi-Fi. They give us a credit every month, which I love as the treasurer. I love that, but giving us nowhere near what we're going to need to do something for Senior Planet. So we have spoken with the Champlain Telephone, and they're hoping to get broadband on School Street. I'm hoping May, but we'll see. They said when the weather breaks, but I think they're also thinking of Hemingford Road and maybe Maple Street. So I'm hoping that they may come by us. We are comparing it with one of the TV guys,
Spectrum.
And they say they have the capability to hook us up now. But we're hoping to stay local, and we're hoping they're going to be competitive. So we'll see how it plays out. But we're really going to need, and the board is making this number one priority right now, other than the grant and all that. Of course, everything else that's going on, but we need to upgrade one way or the other. We've got to upgrade our Wi-Fi at the library, which is good news for townspeople, because when you come now and you can use the free Wi-Fi from your car, it's slow. Mm-hmm. But it's there, and it's always there. If we upgrade, you're going to have some great service if you want to swing by and use the Wi-Fi. And Lisa also mentioned about April 16th, it's going to be like an Easter egg hunt, if I'm correct. Something like that, or something about...
We're going to do some activities with the
some kids. Activities, yeah. Maybe not Easter egg, but some activities on the Saturday before Easter. And along with that, we have a 50-50 club. So we're trying to raise money to help with the Wi-Fi, etc. And we're keeping 1,000, we're giving away 1,000. There's only 200 tickets out there. They're $10 a ticket. So I do have tickets with me tonight, and any board member or Lisa or any of the others have tickets. Any help we can get along this would be greatly appreciated as well.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you.
All right. Dog control, I haven't heard from Stacy. She's not here. Beautification, I got an email from Karina. Good evening. I will not be able to attend the monthly meeting Tuesday on March 8th. Therefore, I would like to provide a brief update to the board. As noted in previous correspondence, the Beautification Committee is requesting to have an email account set up in order for the community to be able to contact the committee directly. It is requested that, if possible, the email account established through the town venues providing community members personal contact information. The Beautification Committee will be contributing information to the upcoming Moore's Volunteer Fire Department Ladies Auxiliary Flyer schedule to be mailed out in early spring, and would like to include the new email address in the publication. The information needs to be provided to Kendra by the 31st of March. Also, the Beautification Committee will be holding a meeting on Tuesday, April 19th at 6 p.m. at the town offices, and is open to the community, and is submitted by Karina Carden. I will talk to Renee tomorrow about, I didn't realize that they were looking for an email, but I will talk to Renee tomorrow about getting that set up. And so we'll have that for the...
We need to make a motion, Jeff, or is that okay?
We can make it. We can do a motion. Not gonna hurt anything.
I'll make a motion if they are able to do that.
Okay.
Give the authority to sign it for.
I think we could have some discussion.
Yep.
I'm in all favor of that for the beautification committee. However, if we do that for one, which I think we need to do something, we got a cemetery committee. We got the committee on hometown heroes. We got the youth committees. What are we gonna do for everybody else? Or what, I mean, what I'm saying is, we do it for one, which I think we need to do something.
Yeah, we'll take it one at a time.
Well, what's my thing? There's gonna be a cost with this, right?
I would assume, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Can we put like a general?
I don't know, that's something we'll have.
Where they all could use.
To get a hold of.
Particular email for you know, beautification or cemetery.
Right.
Whatever, that way that.
Yeah, I don't know, that's what we'll check on and see. See what's out there and what they have to offer. I don't really know. We'll have to talk to Champlain Technology and see what, because they've got all their other emails, so.
Maybe we can table it till next month and then you can get something back.
Well, they'd like to have it for the, put it in the flyer when it goes out for the.
I think.
Right, okay, yeah, that's right.
But I don't know, why couldn't we do something like with a general? Because actually we're doing a, you know, there's a bunch of us working on the zoning, rewriting the zoning. And I'm wondering if it wouldn't be something that they could use in.
Generic, like a generic, like a generic.
That anybody that's working on a committee through the town can use.
Yeah.
But it would probably go, you'd have to address each one, I'm sure, right?
Kind of like, okay, we have our emails, but you know, we're like, you're like.
Four or five.
Yeah, right, three, four, five, you know, that kind of thing, yeah.
That'd be something we could do. Roxanne?
I don't know, I'll have to get a hold of them and see, I'll have to sit down and.
Brian or Steve would be able to, but I'm sure there's something they can help you out with.
Okay.
Well, I think each department should have their own email because.
Well, he's talking, doing like we got here on the boards, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, so like, you know.
We could do beautification.
Beautification.
Youth commission if they want to use it, right? You know, you might get some directors that don't want to use it, but you got some people that might.
Right, so that's what I'll run by them and see if it's something similar that we can set up like that.
Because like we each have our own email through that one.
Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, yeah, whatever.
I don't know how that would work, but.
Okay, I don't know either, that's something, that's not my technology, so.
Yeah, me neither, but I was kind of trying to figure out a way.
Yeah, okay.
Please, everyone.
So Irvin made a motion to go ahead and check on setting it up. We got a second?
Second that.
Don? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Karina. Youth program, nothing, historian, no assessor, next would be the fire department. For the month of January, we had a total of 15 calls, 9 in the town, 6 mutual aid, 2 house fires, 1 motor vehicle accident, a barn fire, 2 chimney fires, good intent, and 2 medical assist, 4 fire alarms, and 2 CO alarms. And in February, they had 15 calls again. 3 house fires, 2 garage fires, 4 motor vehicle accidents, 1 power line, 3 medical assists, 1 CO alarm, and 1 fire alarm. And they got mutual aid from Altona, Champlain EMS. And they had sent mutual aid, or no, they gave mutual aid to, and Beatmantown also, and Albert. And it was submitted by Todd Gumlaw, fire chief. Anything else, Todd?
I got a couple things you got, just want to touch on. For those who didn't see it on our social media page, the department, in conjunction with Champlain EMS, purchased a MedLite rescue unit to go in the back of our RTV. We'll use that for backwoods rescues. We told EMS if they had a driveway that they couldn't access due to snow, we could go up. It's built with a Stokes basket on it and a seat, so we can put a patient in that home where they're secured in. So, and there's also a jump seat for the tech or paramedic to ride in as well to monitor the patient. They paid half, we paid half. So that's another great tool in our arsenal. We also purchased a new truck. One of the pumpers we had, our frontline pumper, we had some issues with it. We put a lot of money into it in a short amount of time. I didn't feel safe having someone interior on a structure fire and have the truck decide to shut down or whatever. We did some research and whatnot. They gave us a really good deal on the truck that we sold and bought. So we're looking late this year, early next year. With all the backups and stuff. The truck we're getting is it's an International Cummins motor, 1500 gallon per minute pump, 2000 gallon water tank. So it should serve the community well. Then watching some ice jams, it's that time of year again. There's a few out there on the river right now. Hopefully, they won't affect anything, and hopefully the weather that we're supposed to get this weekend won't compound issues and make it any worse. Hopefully, they move off down the river. We'll just say a prayer for Champlain, because we all know what happens down there. And lastly, I kind of went above what some of the other fire chiefs do or have done in the past. I know I discussed it with you, Jeff, last month. I stopped into the corner down here, the old Manette's building. Walked through the antique store and kind of walked next door, looked in there. The building's a landmark for the town. I don't want anybody getting upset with me, but if that place ever catches on fire, I will not jeopardize any of those men over there to go in there. That is terrible. Something's gotta be done with that building. It's just, there's, the hoarder from Garrett Road has decided to take up residence down there.
On the, where the Burgess Boutique was.
Where the boutique was. She's moved in there. There's stuff almost floor to ceiling in certain spots in there, and there's just a little pathway to get through.
What's her plan for that?
That's storage.
Just storage?
Storage. She's been moving stuff in and out of there.
All times of morning, because I've seen their vehicle parked there at 5 o'clock in the morning, putting in stuff.
They bring it in early in the morning.
Yeah, they bring it in early in the morning. I mean, I've left the town garage from plowing, drive by at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the vehicle's there.
On the sidewalk,
unloading stuff.
They just were unloading like a dishwasher the other day going into the building.
I understand hoarding is a mental illness, you know, everybody has an issue, but like I said, if that ever, God forbid it ever catches fire, my main concern would probably be Brad Vassar's house. And get some suppression on it, but I can't foresee sending anybody in here.
Well, not only that, that building hasn't had any maintenance in quite a few years now, and it's getting in disrepair.
The two individuals, one of them is one of our firemen, him and his father were in there doing some work for the owner or whatever. They were on the second floor, and you could feel the floor sponging below your feet. So I don't know when they put the boutiques and stuff in, if they did any work downstairs, it could have compromised the integrity of the building or not, but like I said, I can't foresee sending somebody in there, especially when if nobody's in there, definitely, won't happen. I can't foresee somebody getting killed or injured or something like that. But like I said, I mean, I know she's got an illness. I saw her last week. She was picking something up off the side of the road that had been out in the weather for a month and a half, loading it in her car. I don't know. Do we seek help for her, or, nobody knows.
Yeah, that's but, it, exactly.
She's renting a space from
us. Right, she is renting a space, and she's just packing stuff in there steady.
Yeah.
And like I said, I hate to say it, as a fire chief, hey, somebody's property's on fire, we're going to do whatever we can to save it. But when it comes to putting lives at risk, I can't. That's something I got to say no to.
Okay.
I just wanted to address you guys on it.
Okay. Yep.
Well,
thank
I'm
you.
I'm willing, if you guys, whatever you need from me, we want to work together, Jason and I, whatever.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Todd. I did not get the report from the EMS, so I can't read that. But I do have the report for the court. For the month of January, looks like $6,497 was taken in. $4,420 went to the state, $480 went to the county, and $1,597 went to the town of Mortars. Okay. Jason, don't you want to follow that?
I guess
my question is, because it's a private building and they're not selling anything out of there, is there a lot we can do?
Well, from what I heard is what she initially told the court, because it's in the court's hands, she told Judge Robinson that she was starting a thrift store. So what you can kind of tell that, you know, is the stuff that was on the yard that's been sitting there for years, you're not gonna be able to sell it, but she thinks she can sell it. I mean, she honestly does.
Now does she have to get an occupancy permit to sell it there?
That's what we're working on with our zoning law. I think we gotta start with our, you know, because there's businesses kind of, little businesses popping up here and there that, you know, do they just get a permit for a sign, or, you know, they should, you know, get like a operating permit?
Right, right.
That's what we'll, that pretty much everywhere else is.
Okay.
And so that would eliminate that. And yeah, I think there should be, I haven't been in that building in 30 years. But that probably should be inspected.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's probably not a bad idea to do that.
There's been windows upstairs and probably a pigeon or two up there.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so that's, you know, please keep an eye on it and protect that corner. Anything else, Jason?
No. Not this past February, but the one before that, when we changed the pricing on the permits and all that stuff, we almost doubled our revenue from 2020 to 2021.
Really?
From 4,000 to
8,000.
So,
good deal.
Same amount of permits.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks.
Okay. Old business. Anything under old business? The only thing I got, I guess, is on the street lights. The streetlights have been changed, and actually with our monthly bill that we got here this month was, they threw in that $5,000 charge, our light bill is like $6,200, because that's what it cost us to change these LED lights. But the solar company was supposed to pay for that because we had so many people sign up, and Kelly was in charge of that, so I didn't get a chance to talk to her today and see where we're at on that. If they paid yet, or they're waiting for us to give them the bill to pay. So we have to check that so we can put this money back in the lighting district, because we have to pay the bill, because it's NYSEG sent us a bill. So just a note on that. I don't know if the guys probably noticed it when they went through the bills. So okay, and so the truck. And the other thing was on the old business was we have a quote for the air exchanger. We had talked about putting an air exchanger in here, and the town office is in here with all this virus and stuff, with this money we got from the federal government. We talked about using that to put an air exchanger here, to bring some fresh air in here. And so I got a quote. I've got one quote. I could not find anybody else that wanted to quote it. I don't know if anybody else has any idea, but we got a quote from L. Lombardi and Sons for $11,003.98, which entails the machine, the air exchanger, like $1,283. A lot of ductwork's got to go into the attic here, and then the labor and everything to do it. So, I mean, I think everybody's got a copy. I can look it over and any questions or.
You have two air exchangers on there, two. One for here, one for the office area.
I think it is then. Yeah, there's two. Yeah. So yeah, one for in here and one for the offices.
Now that COVID's over with, do we really need it?
Probably not, but look, I'm coming back.
Well, gas boxes are gonna go down first.
Yeah.
This is part of the COVID money?
Yeah. Yeah. This is what we're using some of the COVID money to do this with.
Well, central air, yeah.
You want to give us the time and see if we can come up with another quote? But,
yeah, if not, anybody knows of anybody else that does this.
Can we bring it up at next month's meeting, and if we still have this one? No.
Yeah, we can table it. If anybody knows of anybody else that does this kind of stuff, that's fine. I've got no problem with it. Not like we're gonna in a big hurry to do
right,
it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's got to be done right off.
I'd like to see at least another set of numbers in there.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So we'll table it till next month. Okay. Okay, anything else on our whole business?
Have we got any information on the grant for the playground equipment?
No, it's been submitted. I don't know if it's been submitted or it's going to be submitted again. And it doesn't cost us anything.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be, I'm not sure when he does it. I think it's closer to spring.
Okay.
April or May, but it's going to be resubmitted and it doesn't cost us a dime to do it. It all was included in the last one. So, okay.
Did you want to discuss the bidding on the equipment under old business, or do you want to do that later?
Yeah, we'll do that later. Okay, anything else under old business? New business. I don't know if anyone in here has FEMA, the last 8 to 10 months, have been doing a new floodplain survey. And we got notice from FEMA and the county that 45 properties in the town of Moores is now considered in a floodplain. So what Renee and I did, we did up a letter and we sent it to every person that was on that list. And we just did it this week and they're starting to call. So apparently they started calling Calvin Castine because Calvin got a hold of Glenn Cutter, who is in charge of the county. Says, Glenn, what are your thoughts about the proposed new FEMA flood zones? I assume that the blue on the county tax map is the new proposals. Then Glenn writes back, yes, he said the blue areas that are already turned on when you use the county GIS map are the proposed flood zones. There are many areas that are now proposed to be in the flood zone that I personally feel are reaches. What it looks like to me, but I am not a hydrology engineer, is that the maps incorporated all areas of a certain elevation into the floodplain if they can be connected to a stream system. The factor I feel that is being left out is that some of these streams don't generate enough water during a storm to fill proposed basins or water that the floodplain shows. It may be dependent upon a culvert being plugged and no one coming to fix them within a few days. An example from yesterday is attached. This entire field area is within the floodplain because it is a level ground. And yes, it is fairly wet area. But no one remembers the water topping Route 11 in this area. And no one remembers the time where the entire field area was inundated with water. There were aerial photos from back in 2011 that show some flooding along the stream, so it can happen. I just don't think the 1% chance of a 100-year flood is an expense on the size of the brook. Of course, if the floodplains are based on once in 100 years, very few people remember what happened back then. What they're talking about here is Tom Bedard at Tom's Farm Equipment, Tom's used car, is the one that had called Calvin. He called me also, and he's in it, and he's kind of worried about it. So what Calvin says is please share this info with your board members. It may not be included in this email. So if your board would like to send me a letter of some sort regarding your views of the proposed FEMA flood zones, it would be helpful. As Glenn Cutter said, it's going to impact over 1,000 county residents. So there's over 1,000 in Clinton County that they are now considered flood, so they got to go out and buy flood insurance. So, and this is what this letter went out for, was saying, now's the time to buy your flood insurance before we say your place is flood prone, because you'll get it cheaper. So apparently this is a big issue, bigger than I thought it was when I first got the letter.
Yeah, because some of them, insurance company will cancel.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
they won't even insure.
Right. Yeah. If they don't have flood insurance, and now you're flood thing. But from what they're saying, there's a lot of this stuff is kind of speculate on being flood. So wherever they found a body of water, they kind of figured it was a flood thing. So I don't know what the board feels. Do we do some kind of letter up to send Calvin and Glenn Cutter, see if they can do something with FEMA to kind of push this?
From what I understand, there's a lawsuit right now in Clinton County.
What's that?
There's a lawsuit right now. Property owners in Clinton County are getting together and suing FEMA over this. It might be interesting to offer that to the residents.
Well, there's a...
We have to adopt their map. We have so long to adopt their map, and if we have...
It's 90 days. There's a 90-day grace period. And it started on...
A while ago.
Yeah, it's May 17th is the deadline. So something needs to be done before May 17th, because that's the 90-day cutoff. So it started back in February. So...
It sounded pretty involved, though, when I talked to a lady from FEMA about it, because when she came to me the first time, when they first brought up the maps, there was only three people in Lawrence that had it. Two on Davidson Road and one on McDonald Road. And, you know, one was just barely coming in the corner of a guy's basement, and I mean, it wasn't anything big, and I asked, you know, what to do, and she's like, well, just wait a little while, hold on, figure some stuff out or whatever, and then next thing you know, it's just...
Yeah, now there's 45 in the town of Lawrence.
So it kind of, it broadened it. It went kind of...
Yeah.
But there's some consequence too if we don't adopt it.
There's what now?
Like a consequence if we don't, I was trying to remember what the heck it was. You'd have to, I'll find out.
If it destroys highway or something else, it won't reimburse.
Yeah, something like that.
If it's a big enough disaster and something happens to the roads or whatever, there's no funding. I've been told that before.
Well, we can dispute the map but it's really complicated. Like, you gotta go by the, of course, you know, you say the 100-year flood mark or the high water mark.
Right, right.
Kind of proves that it's impossible to go into this guy's backyard, but, you know.
Well, that's what, like, Tom asked me, he said, well, can the board write a letter saying, and the fire department write a letter saying that, yeah, you know, as far as we can remember, there's never been a flood here.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we can do that, but what good is it gonna do? I mean, you know, I don't really, you know, I don't know if it's gonna or not, but I don't know if getting a letter to Calvin and through the legislator, they can push, they got a lot more power than we do. You know, and then this Glenn Cutter seems to be on board with it also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. I don't know. What's the board think?
I think his name, the guy from FEMA, I think it's Robert Schaefer. I don't know why that popped in my head.
Was that?
I find that one.
Hey guys, what do you think?
Have all these homeowners been contacted?
They've all got a letter.
They all have?
Yep, we sent the letter out beginning or last Friday, I think it was.
I'm surprised there's nobody here tonight.
That's what I'm surprised of too.
To discuss this, because the impact is going to be horrendous with the flood insurance, even though they're giving them a break.
I don't know if they don't understand it, that's right. The thing. You know, but we tried to put in a letter that, you know, you need to get flood insurance before they designate you as a flood area.
Can they opt out of this if they want to?
No.
This is,
yeah. From what I understand, FEMA is, you know, the grace, and they say it's flood. But I think that's why the county is trying to fight it, because...
Right, you'd be required to get your flood insurance.
But right. This goes to Champlain too, this is happening all over.
All county.
I wonder what Champlain feels like.
I have no idea.
You know, I mean, maybe we could do a collective study of everybody and...
Well, I think that's what Calvin is trying to do, is get everybody to do a letter and say, hey, the town of Moores is not in favor of this, there's something wrong with this.
You could just generate simple letters just telling them, listen, we're not on board with your new plan here.
No, you're putting a lot of hardship in a lot of our town people here. You know, to go out and buy flood insurance.
Never seen a drop of water on the property, and now you're telling them they're in a flood zone.
Like I say, if you don't get it, then your insurance company is going to drop you like a bad habit when they find out you're in a flood zone.
Hell, they drop you if you got moss on your roof.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we should contest it. You want to do that? Write a letter and contest it?
Yeah. We'll make somebody make a motion to write a letter.
Send a letter to contest their new flood zone map.
All the flood insurance is from the
second.
Whether it's underwritten by third party agencies.
Okay, so we got a motion to write a letter and a second to go ahead and write a letter to the county and kind of try to get this thing going before it goes too far. Okay, all right, thank you guys.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Okay, carried. Thank you.
Okay, anything else under new business? I've got a letter here that Gary had wrote to the county. I don't know if you want to bring it up, Gary, or you want me to read it? Go ahead.
Sure, it was just on the Davison Road last week. We were walking in between Danny Dekus's property and our property. The brush has just grown up so much that it's encroaching on the road. And with snowbanks and the road is just deteriorated so much, there's potholes everywhere. And it was splashing water and debris on us when we were walking by. And I let Carl Weiss know, and he was actually really good about it.
Yeah.
They came up the next day and filled in the pothole and said that they'll be cutting the brush back when time allows.
Okay.
So I thanked him and thanked the road crew that went out. And,
okay.
Because that's a county road, it's not a town road.
Right, it's yeah, it's a county road, yeah, definitely.
So that's why I initially sent it to Carl and just copied you guys in.
Yeah.
As an FYI.
Yeah. Actually, he says, well, it's going to be paved in the spring.
Yeah, I was surprised when he said that was going to be paved.
Yeah. I didn't know that either, so good to know. Okay. All right. Thanks, Gary. Anything else under new business?
Our truck?
We're going to wait on that.
Okay.
So that's all I got. Anybody have anything else? Any public comment?
So the question, I'm here to address an apparent issue with parking in front of my business. My name is Ryan Garrett. I own American Vintage Barber Company.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an issue?
Is there an issue? Only if they park in the road.
Okay, so I guess my question to you specifically is the maintenance of that road, is that up to the town or is that up to the state or both?
It's a state road.
To stay
okay. To stay what about the shoulder then?
Well, the way it's always been done before was, well, Dragoons used to clean the shoulders and yep. then bill the landowner.
Okay, so I guess my question is who do I contact with the issue as far as, I mean, obviously the issue is people encroaching on the white line, especially right. In the winter with the plows going through.
Right.
Understandable. My question is when there's 12 feet of shoulder and only 4 feet of the shoulder is being plowed past the white line, what do you expect my clients to do? There's no parking but on the street.
Right.
I don't know what Larry used to do. I can't vouch for that. However, from what I hear, I'm a lot busier than Larry ever used to be.
Right. Well, that's
two people in there to keep up with it now. I'm now by appointment only, and one of the main reasons for me doing that is to cut down on the amount of people, because if I was still walking only, I'd be lined right to here. I'd be lined right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first I've heard of the issue. I guess I'm looking for your suggestion. What do I do? I have nowhere else for these people to go. There's not a village or a town parking lot that's close
right.
by. I have to have these people in here. I do my best to keep it out of the way of blocking driveways and so on and so forth. But I mean, with two guys now, I mean, we're doing 50 mm-hmm. people a day.
Right.
Every 30 minutes we get a new car in there. Sometimes some show up early, but typically there's only ever two or three.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the snowbanks, there is plenty of shoulder both in front of the old library and in front of the barbershop on both sides of the road.
Right.
There's 12 to 14 feet. Only 4 feet is being plowed.
Right.
If the shoulders were being plowed between the white line all the way up to the sidewalk, I don't think there would be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, what's your recommendation as a board? Who do I go to get that taken care of?
You could try the state, see if they're willing to plow it, but I would hardly doubt it. But like I said, I know the way it used to be done when the businesses were all busy down there was Dragoons would plow it and they'd bill the business owner.
I know a way to pay for it to contact a private company to come and do it, and they said X amount from the yellow line, they wouldn't even touch it because it's not private property.
Right.
So when the town comes through with their skid steer,
does a sidewalk.
two days after the snowstorm sometimes, and I have to hand shovel all the way up to the road, I don't, my hands are tied at that point. My people have to park somewhere. I have,
right.
I have a business to run.
My only issue with the vehicles on the side of the road, when them plow trucks are out, we do not have insurance coverage. That truck hits the plow hits your vehicle or anybody's there, it's not covered.
So when your plows are on the road, you want me to shut down for business and tell people I can't do it and you're taking the liability?
That's not what I'm saying. If there's an accident, we just had one a few weeks ago. We are not responsible. It's private insurance. Your insurance would cover, or his insurance, whoever vehicle is there. I just want that known because
That's fine. I understand your insurance side of it. I'm just saying, who do I contact to get the rest of the shoulder taken care of?
Well,
because there is plenty of room between the white line and the sidewalk. It's just not being done. It hasn't been done for the 3 years I've been in there.
Hasn't been done in probably 15 years.
That's a town. The town. We take care of that road, right?
When the library used to be there, we used to take care of the between the white line and the sidewalk, when the library used to be there.
But to plow the road, not the side, not the shoulders.
Does Dragoon represent the town? Do I need to go to Dragoon's and ask them and pay them separately to take care of it for me?
That's what was done, that's what was done before.
This is the first I'm being told of this, and I'm 3 years into this, I'm actually getting ready to move my location because it's just, it's not accommodating for what I need there. I'm moving around this point in 4 months. But if this issue is presenting itself 3 years after I've already been in business, it's the first I'm hearing about it, I'm asking what you want me to do. Because like I said, this is my third year now, and this is the first year I'm hearing about it.
Well, what happened last year? What did, what?
Never had an issue. The same amount of space between the white line and snowbank has been the same since I've been there for 3 years. And this is the first time I'm hearing about an issue. So I'm asking you what you want me to do. Because at this point, I physically can't keep up with enough with a hand shovel and try to do my business. And then once it freezes, I'm screwed. Now I'm dealing with flooding. Now people have to walk up to a different driveway just to get onto the sidewalk, if that's taken care of, just to get onto my walkway, because it's full of ice now. Because the snowbanks build up so much, and it's such a culvert there, but there's no sewer drain. So the water just sits. Then that freezes. Now I'm liable because people are trying to enter my business, and there's ice on property that I don't own, nor I'm responsible for. So again, I'm just asking, what do I do for this next month that this is potentially an issue?
You have to get a private contractor to clean the snow out in front of your building.
No, I don't, because it's not part of the building. It's either state or town road property.
It's not town, it's state.
So you're telling me if I go to Cast Iron's right now and tell them, I want you to clean the 6th and 7th and 8th foot inside of the white line, he can do it?
Sister Road, it's not Cast Iron, it's the state.
But you're saying a private contractor to take care of it.
Right, that's what had been done in the past. I'm telling you, that's what's been done in the past.
I just don't want anything happening to me.
I understand that.
Once I found this out a few weeks ago, yep. I want everybody around to understand when we turn around at an intersection, whether we're back into you or not, we're not responsible.
I understand.
That's my worry, that
100% I understand that.
Something.
I knew the town also keeps up with that road. Because I've seen your plows drop, you guys come through on the sidewalk. I'm here tonight because the fact that there was an issue was brought to my attention, so I'm here to address it. And my question to you is, I didn't know whose jurisdiction it was, so to speak, to keep that clear. So that's why I'm asking, because I want to go through the right resources. I'm not doing it with a hand shovel. I can't pay and have somebody do it. So if it's the state road and the state is responsible for X amount of feet outside of the white line, do I literally go marching down to Plattsburgh and go to the superintendent and say, hey, I own a rinky-dink business and I have a month left of snow and I need to get that cleared out because apparently the town has an issue with it?
Can I bring up a suggestion?
Absolutely.
We got maybe a month and a half left of this.
Yeah.
Ryan already said he's moving, he's relocating because of whatever reason. How hard would it be? We bring a loader here. How hard would it be because of the traffic we get?
I don't have time for that.
The traffic we get at that intersection. How hard would it be just to clean that
area?
That's
not part of our contract.
But it wouldn't be that hard. It's just to get the time to do it.
It's a place to put it.
You got six guys who are in all the plow trucks and.
Well, yeah, there's no manpower.
If you're taking a skid steer with a unit on the front of it anyway, he can't make an extra skid steer width pass to clear out the shoulder so it's not an issue so they can get off the road more?
And where's he going to put it?
It's a V plow.
Put it up against the window for all I care. It's just a matter of moving the snow. If you're telling me there's a liability issue and it's a matter of moving the snow, I'll go get a flamethrower and I'll melt the shit. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying, what can I do to help you suffice the issue? Because like I said, 3 years now, this is the first I'm hearing of it.
My thing was scraping a vehicle or hitting somebody's vehicle that I didn't want us in a mess, like we just found out a few weeks ago. If something happens, there's different drivers in that truck. And breakdowns, could be a different truck today. Some trucks got 12-foot wings, some 11. They're different.
Okay.
Well, they're wrong driver.
I know, but we're into a different thing here. We're trying to figure out how to clean in front of his building.
But that was my concern was.
If it's a concern on behalf of the town, which you said that's technically a state road, state jurisdiction, even though sometimes you do maintenance on it.
Right.
If it's a town concern and the town needs it addressed, why haven't I heard anything from the state in 3 years either? Because they have the same plow trucks go probably twice as much as you do, and I haven't heard a single complaint from them. I just don't know where you want me to put the snow. I don't know who you want me to have take care of it. I don't know where you expect my people to park. Like I said, this all was an issue. I knew it was an issue. It's half the reason I'm moving. Because there's plenty more off-street parking. They do a damn better job taking care of their roads and their sidewalks, and they are accommodating to their businesses, and they have a public parking lot right around the corner. It's some of the reasons I'm moving. But what I'm saying is, for the time being, it's a small 350 square foot building. I do 200 cuts a week, which means 200 different cars throughout that 7 days. Where do you want the people to park? Do you want me to have them park here and make them walk down, since there's parking here and this is technically town property? What's the suggestion? Like I said, we have a month left, maybe one or two more snowstorms, and then whatever Dunes does with the building after that, I heard something about putting no parking signs up. If you expect any businesses to come in, you have to be able to accommodate them. And if there's no public parking, their hands are tied, they have to park on the road. And my gripe is, when there's plenty, there's more than enough shoulder to do so, it's just not being maintained and taken care of in the winter, that shouldn't be the business owner's fault. That's all I really have to say. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Anybody else?
Just one request for the board. The Zoning Board Bylaw Review Committee, we've met once more since the last meeting. We got the digital version for Kelly, so I wanted to thank her for sending that to us. We'd like a copy of the new kennel resolution that was adopted last year, the dog kennel resolution, so that we can review that and then put it into the bylaws so that it's published somewhere. I don't think it's anywhere online. There's no minutes from that meeting, so I can't find it.
I don't know if we ever came up with one yet.
Well, if you didn't, then we need to come up with one so we can put it in the bylaws. And any other zoning-related resolutions that have been made in the last couple of years, if the board can think of anything that has been made, maybe that we haven't thought of, even in the last 4 or 5 years, Mr. Paris? Maybe there's a way of looking, you know, back at resolutions to see if there's just something small that the board changed that we can put in there and just simplify it. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I know Mr. Gilmore said there was a lack of time with his manpower to plow the corner to accommodate business, but maybe we could reduce some of the time we do the walking path around the park and do that for a client. There's more people walking out of that business that are walking on that path in the middle of winter. We're
the walking path was done on suggestion to try it.
Yeah, but we're trucking a bunch of skid steer all the way there to blow around it, and we could be using it right here, right now.
That gets done just like the sidewalks. When I have time and manpower, put to the sidewalks and whatever, that's when it gets done.
That's the issue we've had in the past was getting time to do it. And maybe a day or two later after the storm before it ever gets done, because there's six guys and they're all in a plow truck. And like I say, they do the sidewalks after they're done plowing. So a sidewalk doesn't get done till either later in the day or the next day.
That's fine, but these guys sometimes are plowing 24/7 around the clock.
Exactly.
I have 2 days where I'm closed down. I'm only open for business 10 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So any of that other time where there's no cars in the front of there, how hard is it to drop the wing and push it up onto the sidewalk? Big deal. I got to do my own sidewalk and take care of it. But at least it clears that shoulder out for the next day that I do have to work and the cars start lining up.
Yeah.
There's not cars there 24/7.
Right. You're exactly right.
We have part-time help too that we could call in and do that stuff.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. I'm going to make a motion to go into executive session to talk about the highway. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All right. You guys can hang around if you want. But we'll be back out in a little bit. Executive session at 7:57.